Okay, we're turning now to Galatians 3, and my text this evening is taken from verse 6 of Galatians 3 down through verse 14. The title of this message is found in verse 11. The just shall live by faith, or the justified shall live by Christ. Live by Christ. Now, Paul is continuing in this chapter his rebuke to those believers there at Galatia, plainly declaring how foolish it would be to listen to those who said believers in Christ must also be circumcised, must also obey the law, must also seek God's acceptance by the deeds of the law in order to be really justified and to be really saved. What they were saying was this, and this is why he said, "Are you so foolish? Are you so foolish? Thinking that Christ is not enough? Is the Lord Jesus Christ enough in salvation? If he's all you got by his grace, he is enough. Christ is all and in all. In the Lord Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ Jesus we, as believers, are complete, completely justified, completely sanctified, completely redeemed. The Lord has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." No wonder he says, how foolish would it be to seek salvation by any other means than Christ crucified alone. Christ crucified. We are determined, as Paul, not to know anything among you except the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, a few weeks ago, we considered these five questions here in verses 1 down through verse 5, where he says in verse 3, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Do you start by the Spirit and then perfect salvation by what you do or what you bring? No. How foolish it would be. So to make good on that argument, he brings before them Abraham, showing a sinner who was justified before circumcision was given, before the law was given, to show them and to demonstrate that Abraham was justified exactly the same way he saves every sinner. The same way. By grace alone, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham, Paul uses him as an example and demonstrates that Abraham was justified before the law was given. Therefore, he concludes that circumcision and the giving of the law at Sinai had nothing to do with his salvation. Zero. What was Abraham doing when God called him? Where did God find Abram? He was in the land of idolatry, in the house of idolatry. He wasn't seeking the Lord. He was seeking and worshiping idols with his fathers. And God called him out. By his irresistible grace, God called him out and said, "Abraham, you get out of your father's house. Leave the house of idolatry and go into the land that I'm going to show you." And you know what? God called him to leave, and you know what? He left. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for a justifying righteousness before God Almighty. Now, what did he believe? He believed by revelation of God Almighty that salvation was totally in and through and by the Lord Jesus alone. You remember what the Lord says of Abraham? "He rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad." He was rejoicing in the same gospel that we rejoice in. Salvation, mercy to the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly by His grace alone. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says in verse 6 of Galatians 3, "Even as Abraham believed God." Now, Abraham believing God was not something
attributed to Abraham's intellect. It wasn't something that was attributed to Abraham's deeds. He believed God because God gave him life. And the fruit of life, the fruit of regeneration, is faith. Faith is not the cause. Faith is the fruit of life. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Abraham believed God, just as we believe God. Why do you believe God? Why do you believe the gospel? We believe, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, we believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in us according to His own good pleasure. That's how we believe God. It's not something that blooms up in our heart. Saving faith is not native to this old wretched heart. Saving faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, faith. Faith is a gift of God. So he's saying that Abraham was justified freely by God's grace, just as every sinner is saved by grace alone in Christ Jesus. And that's the point he's making here. Even as Abraham, he believed God. He believed God. And you know what? It says there, it was reckoned to him for righteousness. He had a justifying righteousness before God. Now, what is this justifying righteousness? I tell you what it is. It's the Lord, our righteousness. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is described in Scripture, who is our righteousness before God. And he believed him, blessed is the man to whom the Lord would impute righteousness without works. Romans 4, verse 6. Now, I realize that this doesn't set well with this religious world. They think that God has done a part and that we must do a part, and we bring the two parts together and then we have a whole. That's not salvation as it's recorded in God's book. Salvation from the get-go, salvation from election, the glorification, and everything that's involved in between, all of it is the work of God Almighty, who works all things after the counsel of His own will to the praise of the glory of His grace. It was counted to him for righteousness, a justifying righteousness before God Almighty, found in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Alone. He brought in for His people an everlasting righteousness. Now, the Lord Jesus, as the God-man mediator, as the God-man, He needed no righteousness for Himself, for He is the righteous God. He is the righteous God, but as the God-man, He's working out a perfect righteousness for His covenant people, and that He freely gives to them by His grace. Now, notice what it says in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they... And he repeats this over and over again. They which are of faith. And it's the same as saying that those who are of Christ. Of Christ. Those who are of Him by His election, by His redemption. Those which are of faith. The same are the children of Abraham. The same. Those granted and given the faith of God's elect, like Abraham, are the true sons of God. Notice in the last part of chapter 3 in Galatians, verse 26, he says, "For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, put in Him, immersed into Him." It's not talking about water there. Talking about grace, regeneration, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Now, the law made a great distinction among races, but not in the gospel. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ. Now, look at verse 29. And if you be Christ, notice, if you be His, apostrophe S, that means He owns us. That means we are no more our own. We're bought with His blood. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. He's not talking about a natural seed there, is he? He's talking about the spiritual seed, the elect of God. Heirs, according, look what it says, heirs according. Now we're going to talk a lot about this word here, promise, in the weeks to come. He's an heir of God, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, an heir according to God's promise. God promised to save a multitude of sinners out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven through the blood redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they sing that song unto Him who loved me and gave Himself for me and washed me in His own blood. The same are the children of Abraham, spiritually. Now, you remember the story of Zacchaeus? You remember that story? Zacchaeus was a Jew. He was a natural descendant of Abraham. Well, one day the Lord came walking by, and Zacchaeus was a publican. I believe he was the chief of the publicans. And he climbed up that sycamore tree, had an interest that God gave him in seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord looked up that tree and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must abide at your house." And he came down, and the Lord went home with him. Remember what the Lord said? "He also is a son of Abraham. For as much as he came to seek and to save that which is lost, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." Wait a minute now. All those Jews around there were sons of Abraham, not like Zacchaeus. He was one of those spiritual sons of Abraham, called and saved by God's sovereign mercy, God's sovereign grace. The same are the children of Abraham. Justified just like Abraham. Now look at verse 8. "And the Scripture foreseeing." The Scripture foreordaining. Now who wrote the Scripture? All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-given. "The Scripture foreseeing, God foreordaining that He would justify the heathen." That's me. That's Abraham. You remember what we read in Romans 4? He justifieth who? The ungodly. It says in Romans 5, 6 that He died for who? He died for the ungodly. Charles Spurgeon made this statement. He said, "If I had all eternity just to preach five words, it would be those five words. Christ died for the ungodly." That's a good message. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify. Who is he that just, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who can condemn me? It is Christ who had died. Yea, rather, is risen again. Who also ascended. Who is even at the right hand of God. Who also makes intercession for us. That God would justify the heathen. Now, how does God justify the ungodly? How can He be just and justify the ungodly? There's only one way. Not by my works, but by His grace. That He would justify the heathen through faith. Faith. Not law. Faith. Look what it says in verse 8. God preached before the gospel. God preached the gospel to Abraham. You see that? Wouldn't you like to have heard that sermon? It's written for us in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15. And here's what it says. "In thee shall all nations be blessed." That is, in Christ, all nations shall be blessed. Now look in the same chapter, Galatians 3, look at verse 16. "Now to Abraham and his seed..." Notice that singular, "where the promise is made, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." Christ. "In thee shall all nations be blessed," in Him. In Christ, God had chosen a multitude of sinners
and is determined to populate glory with a people just like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what predestination is all about. Turn to Romans 8. Every time it's used in the Bible, I believe it's used, what, four times? Every time it's used in the Bible, it's in reference to what God is going to do with the people, and He's going to determine, He determined and decreed to make a people just like His Son. Look what it says here in Romans 8. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Verse 29. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. God Almighty had determined, predestinated to populate glory with a people just like His Son. I don't know why people kick at predestination. I know one thing, they don't believe God. You know who believes in predestination? You know the sinner who believes in God's predestinating grace? You know who does? Those who are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. I'm glad He predestinated a people to be just like Christ. Had He not decreed that, none would have been saved apart from God predestinating grace. If a man said, well, I don't like that predestination stuff, and that's what I hear all the time, you know what he's saying? He's saying this. He's saying he doesn't want to be like Christ, because that's what predestination is all about. Thank God. He's determined to make sinners just like His blessed Son. So the conclusion then that he makes here in Galatians 3, verse 9, so then, they which be of faith. Faith is a gift of God. They which be of faith are blessed. Are blessed. Oh, who is a blessed man? Who is a blessed man? I know whom this ungodly world would consider to be a blessed man. That man who has health. That man who has strength. That man who has not only health and strength, but he has wealth. The man who has popularity and political pull and political power. They say, well, that man is, boy, he's blessed. No, he's not. He's cursed. He cursed is the man that trusteth in man who maketh flesh his arm. Those who are blessed are those who believe God's gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. God hath blessed His people with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in the Lord Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings are given to us. He that spared not His own Son. You remember that scripture in Romans 8, verse 32, just down from where we read. God who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And you know, I like that word, not only all things, but freely give us all things in Christ Jesus. So then, the conclusion, they which be of faith, they which be of Christ are blessed with faithful Abraham. Abraham was faithful because God gave him life in Christ Jesus, and He made him so. Let us not be so foolish to think we can be justified any other way. That's why he starts this whole section of this letter by accusing them of being foolish to seek salvation any other way but in Christ Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but in Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He said, no man comes unto Me, comes unto the Father, but by and through Me. in Christ Jesus.
Oh, I tell you, it's no one's foolish. It's deadly. It's deadly to seek God's favor any other way but in and through and by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now look at verse 10.
For as many as
are of the works of the law are under the curse of that law.
For it is written. God says this. It is written. Deuteronomy 27:26. It is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. To do them. All who seek to be justified by the deeds of the law, works of the flesh, thinking that they are blessed and accepted by their deeds, are not blessed at all. They're under the judgment of God. You see what he's saying there? Those who seek salvation by the works of the law are under the curse of that law. Under the curse of that law. Now those people, and I've said this often, and I believe it's so, those people who take what we call the 10, and that's just a summation of that whole law, the Levitical law, the ceremonial law, the moral law, all those laws, they tell me there's 700 or 800 precepts, but those 10, probably the summation of God's law given at Sinai, but those who, and I don't know if you have this around here, but they used to, up our way, they printed out a bunch of these on a blue sign, and people would take and stick them in their yard. Thinking that they're accepting, or thinking that if they do those things, that they'll have favor of God or acceptance with God. Well, the problem is that God set that standard so high that we cannot keep God's law, and to try to seek His favor by doing the law, we bring nothing upon ourselves, not blessing, but judgment. Matter of fact, you take that sign and stick it under your yard. You know what you're saying? You're holding up your hand and you're saying, I'm cursed. If you're seeking to be justified by those 10 commandments, you're not blessed, you're cursed. Are under the curse of the law, for it is written. Now watch it. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law. Not just to hear them, not just to see them, do them. Do them. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what He requires. Impossible in this flesh. Impossible. And God put it that way on purpose to drive us to despair. To drive us to despair that we might see the law honored in the substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what it says in verse 11. But that no man. Do you understand what no means? When my boys were little tykes. I've got two boys that are grown. Well, they're grown. They're working on being young men. They're still in their early 20s. They're grown up in stature physically, but between the years, that takes about 20 more years. But I used to tell them when they were little tykes, when I would say, no, don't do that. And then I'd follow it up by the, what part of no don't you understand? No means no. And that's what he's saying here. No man, no sinner is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, it is plain, it's recorded in Habakkuk, in Romans, and in Hebrews 10, for it is written, it's plain, it's evident, the just, or those who are justified, shall live by Christ. We live by faith, not by law. We live by faith in Christ Jesus. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Back to Romans and look at Romans chapter 3. This is such an important lesson that we understand this, that we're not justified by law.
we're justified in Christ Jesus. And there's so much confusion in religion today about the law. What's your position on the law? Dead? Dead. The law has already executed me. The law has already taken and exacted its full penalty upon me. I'm dead to it. How so? Crucified with Christ. Dead. Dead to the law. Look what it says here in Romans 3. Now we know that what things soever, verse 19, the law saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, because we're guilty, we've violated God's law. We've broken the law. Let's face it. We're guilty. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, not the removal. But now the righteousness of God. That's a key phrase in Scripture. The righteousness of God. The righteousness that's of Him. That comes from Him. He's the source of it, the fountain of it, the spring of it. The righteousness of God. And that's the gospel. That's Christ. Without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. They all spoke of Christ. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't say faith in Christ. It says the faith of Jesus Christ. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the law. He honored every precept of the law, and in His death, He honored the penalty of the law. Which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There's no difference. There's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is one of my favorite verses right here. I love this verse. I love all God's Word, but I love this verse particularly. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God has set forth. He foreordained Him. That's what the word means. Foreordained Him to be the mercy seat, the satisfaction, the satisfying atoning victim through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance, the long-suffering of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness that He might be just and the justifier of him which believes in our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is evident. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. The just shall live by faith. Now look at verse 12. Christ hath redeemed us, it says in verse 13, from the curse of the law. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. The law doesn't require faith. What does the law require? Do. Do. Perfectly. Do. The man that doeth them, he must live in them. If you're going to go to the law, you're going to have to go all the way. The man that doeth them shall live in them. In the reference there, if you want to jot it down, it's Leviticus 18:5. If you're going to be so foolish to seek to please God by the deeds of the law, you cannot live by faith in Christ. Justification by works and justification by grace and faith in Christ are totally, totally incompatible. It says that in Romans chapter 11, doesn't it? Let's turn over there and read that. Romans chapter 11. That is, grace and works don't mix. Romans 11. Verse 5, even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer any more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more of grace. Otherwise, work would not be work. It can't be both. And salvation in this book, as it's taught from Genesis to Revelation, salvation is all by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 13. Now, here's the good news of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ hath already done, redeemed, past tense, us. That word redeemed there means bought. It means delivered. It means the ransom has been paid and we have been set free. He is our kinsman redeemer. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse. The judgment of the law that was against us, it was contrary to us, it says in Colossians 2. He took it out of the way, nailed it to His cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, triumphing over them Himself. He is victorious. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did He do that? Look what it says there. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, Deuteronomy 21, it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Here's the good news of the gospel. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. You remember how we started this lesson back in Galatians chapter 1? Turn over there. Galatians chapter 1. It's unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood. He's redeemed us. He's delivered us. Look at what it says. Galatians 1 verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sin that He might redeem us, deliver us from this present evil world. And it's all according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Redeemed. Redeemed. Oh, redeemed by the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Redeemed from all wrath and judgment. There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. God's justice, the old songwriter said, God's justice can't twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. Can He demand justice twice? No. That'd make Him unjust. And He's not unjust. If all the judgment of my sin fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is no judgment left for those. The debt's been paid, and it's paid by His blood. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now look what it says here in verse 13. Being made a curse for us. Now, He took our sin to Himself, right? It says in 1 Peter 2:24 that He bare our sin in His own body on the tree. Now, He had no sin, the Scripture said. Scripture said He knew no sin. Scripture said He did no sin. Yet on Calvary's tree, there our sin was reckoned to Him. The Scripture said our sin was laid on Him. God put all the sin of God's elect, God's people, His sheep, upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And in bearing our sin, John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes our sin, and then He takes them away, in that He put them away by His sacrifice. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. He took our sin. That is, He died in our room and in our stead, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There's that righteousness that's of God in Him. So He took our sin, and in taking our sin, He took my punishment. The wrath of God. You remember that Scripture in Zechariah? Awake, O sword. Awake, O sword, the sword of His justice against the Lamb, against the Lord Jesus Christ. And the white, hot sword of God's holy justice on Calvary's tree was plunged into the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ as He was made sin for us. Smite the shepherd, saith the Lord of hosts. He took our sin to Himself. And in taking our sin, He took our judgment. And in taking our judgment, He put sin away by the sacrifice of Himself. Oftentimes people ask this question. Well, what's your theory on the atonement? You know what my pat answer back is? We don't have a theory. We have an atonement. It's not a theory. It's an atonement. The atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ is particular, powerful, prevailing, and perpetual. He obtained for us eternal redemption with His own blood. We don't have an atonement. We have an atonement for sin. And that's what we have. He made complete atonement for all the sin of those children of Abraham. Call His name Jesus. He shall save His people from their sin. And my friend, when He said it's finished, that's exactly what He meant. It's done. It paid in full. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, being made sin for us. Substitution and satisfaction. Now it says there in the last part of verse 13, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now you can go back and study this in Deuteronomy, but according to the law, have you ever wondered why the Lord Jesus was hung on a tree? It was according to the law, to fulfill the law. Those who were found guilty of a capital crime that required death according to the law, they were to be stoned and then hung out on a tree in a public display to demonstrate that the curse of God was upon them. And that's exactly what happened at Calvary's tree. He was hung out on a tree to publicly demonstrate that the wrath of God fell on Him as God's sacrifice for sin. And it's offered the blood on the altar, the blood of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know it's not offered to men? I said, you got it. You got it. You read back through those Leviticus and Exodus and Deuteronomy, all the, it's the blood on the altar before the Lord. You see, this is God's sacrifice for sin. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a sacrifice that is offered to men. It's God's lamb. It's God's lamb. You know what? He is well satisfied. That which God has provided is that which He will accept. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." How do we know He was pleased and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood sacrifice was sufficient and satisfying unto God? How do we know that? God raised Him up from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again because He did justify us with His blood. That's what happened at Calvary. He did justify us. Now, in closing, verse 14, and we'll look at this a little more closely next week. That, or in order to, or in to order, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come on the heathen, Gentile, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, the promise of all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Christ took my judgment that the whole body of Christ, His church, would be abundantly blessed in Him. And believers receive all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus by God-given faith. Salvation is received not by doing, by believing. That we might receive the promise of every spiritual blessing revealed by God the Holy Spirit through faith in Christ Jesus. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now we'll look at this word here, promise, in the weeks to come in a greater detail. All the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes. And in Him. And in Him. Is there salvation in Him? Yes. Is there redemption in Him? Yes. This is the promise of God to save a multitude of sinners in Christ Jesus alone.